What's it going to take in our lives? As I was watching Donnie's story, even preparing for this message, and the thing I actually love about Donnie's story is that it wasn't this just bang, quick fix. I love a part of Donnie's story where, you know, he shares that, man, he was a Christian. He is a Christian, and he would have still been believing in God when he was addicted to these things and producing porn. But the thing is that he slowly allowed this thing to just eat away at Jesus in his life, and he allowed that to deceive him. And what I really realized as I was watching this is that we're never going to be immune to these idols. We're never going to be immune to temptation. There's no amount of immunity you can build up within you. It doesn't matter how often you come to church. It doesn't matter how many prayer meetings you go to. It doesn't matter if all your friends are Christians. We're never going to be immune to these things. There's a story that it's sort of an old parable, and it's a story about a couple, and they were looking at getting a house and something to fix up. And they found this one house, and you know, there was not really that much that had to be done to it, so they were pretty stoked, you know, new carpet and a new paint job. And I've renovated a house before, and I absolutely hate painting, so I kind of get them. And they came to this point where they're like, hey, there's some cracks in our wall. We got to get someone to come and fix these cracks. And so they hired, you know, one of the good painters from town, and he came and he looked at it. He's like, yeah, I can totally fix those. And so what he does, he goes about fixing these cracks, and he puts some putty in there, and he puts some filler in these crack holes. And then as time, he paints it. He paints it over. He puts a real good fresh coat of paint over it. And they're looking at it. They're like, that's awesome. You know, this is rad. We got a good deal with this house. All we've really had to do is get some carpet and fix those cracks and paint it up, and we're sweet. And a few months later down the road, they notice these cracks just slowly just like starting to appear out of the wall. The very same cracks that they were there in the first place. And so they're a bit spewing, and they get another painter, and they're like, hey, come in. You know, that guy couldn't do it. That guy couldn't do it properly. Can you fix this? Can you fix this problem? And he looks at him and goes, yeah, sure, I can. But see, the problem isn't the cracks. The problem isn't what you see. The problem isn't the cracks. The problem is your foundation. This whole entire house's foundation is crumbling. See, we have cracks in our lives. I meet with people, I have cracks in my life. And the thing is, we like to just apply this plaster. We like to apply this paint to our lives. And some of those things might be church. You know, church might be something that you're like, all right, that's a paint. That's something I'll use to cover up the lies in my heart, to cover up the deceit in my heart. You know what? Some of us might get to the point where we actually use Jesus. We go, that's okay, you know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with these addictions. I'm struggling with alcoholism. I'm struggling with these things. But you know what? I'll just cover that up with Jesus. I just won't talk about those things because really Jesus has set me free. And you know inside that you're not free. And maybe it's not pornography. Maybe it's not those things. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's power. But guys, the thing is that we can't just keep plastering stuff over that. There comes to a point when those cracks are going to show. And my prayer and my challenge, guys, is that we as Good Life, we as a community of believers, we stand up. I pray that this generation stands up and doesn't become so worried about the cracks that we're trying to hide it all the time, that we're actually honest with each other. We're honest with our lives. And we begin to see Jesus actually change our lives. So I have a challenge for you guys. It was a challenge that I had for my life group when we started doing the Gods at War. And I said, if you're not going to be open to God, if you're not going to be open to God exploring the areas of your life, there's absolutely no point in doing this. If you're not going to be honest with where you're at in your life, there's absolutely no point in doing this. Because really, just go get a paint. Go get a better paint. Go get some works. Go get some other things and just paint over that crack. It's not going to work. And so I have a challenge for you tonight. Be honest with yourself. Allow God to really show you what's going on. Allow Him to show the condition of your heart. A verse that we're going to look at tonight is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it reads, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." Your heart defines and determines who you are. It defines and determines the actions that you're going to take. And this is a verse that we're going to look at tonight. And because your heart determines the actions you take, because your heart determines really who you are, where do you think the gods are going to go to war? Where do you think the idols are going to start attacking you? It's going to be at your heart. It's going to be trying to draw your eyes away from Jesus. It's going to be trying to draw your eyes away to worthless things. The first bit of that verse says, above all else. What's your greatest priority? The writer of Proverbs is saying to this son or saying to this younger man, he's saying, or younger woman, he's saying, above everything else I've told you, above all else. Treat your heart like it's your most valuable asset. This isn't just true spiritually, this is true physically as well. But you see, we don't really do that. I don't do that. This morning I woke up and I actually slept in and I needed to be here by around 8 o'clock and I'd slept in. And so I didn't have time to make my usual breakfast. And so what did I do? I went to really the only place that's open for breakfast and I went to Macca's. And I went and I ordered, I don't even know what it was, the thing like, it wasn't human food. But I ate that. And there's no way that that was good for my heart. There's no way that it's probably still inside me not knowing what to do. But this is the thing, guys. We don't see the problems. Now, we don't actually think about our heart. We don't think about eating healthy and we don't think about doing these things because we haven't had a heart attack. We haven't had come to a point where we realize, hey, my heart matters. I've got to look after it. I had a grandfather, he did pass away, and he had his first heart attack, and that drastically changed the way that he lived his life. He started eating healthier. He started doing different fitness. He started doing different exercises and programs because he saw the value in his heart. He saw the value in his life. But see, our tendency isn't to do that. Our tendency is really to just fix the things that we see. Our tendency is to fix and just get that new paint and just paint over the things that we see. As long as things look good on the outside, we're okay with what's going on. Instead of focusing our hearts, we make our focus behavior modification. See, there was a group of people who loved this school of thought. They loved getting the most expensive paint that you could get. They loved going out and trying to figure out ways so they could just make themselves look so good. They would go out and do these things and everyone thought, they'd look at them and say, they look so good. You know, like us coming in on a Sunday night and we come in and maybe we're wearing our best or, you know, maybe we're putting on this facade and everyone looks at us and they go, gosh, that guy's life is so great. And inside that person knows, man, no, it's not. And we may put on Jesus, we may do these things. And I got a question for you. Do you think that Jesus really, really cares how good you look? Do you think he really cares about the cosmetics and the makeup and the things that you can just cover up that face, cover up that heart? Do you think he cares? Because I believe that Jesus' heart is crying out to you and saying, I see your pain, I see your cracks. Stop covering them up. Invite me into your heart. Invite me into your life to give you a new heart. See, Jesus isn't interested in covering up our cracks. It says in Ezekiel, he says, I'll take your heart of stone and I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. He doesn't say, I'll just cover you up. He says, I'll take your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Jesus also speaks to these teachers, these ones that, man, they love to look good. They love to look good in front of people. They love their facade. They love their mask. And Jesus says to him, he says, woe to you, you teachers of the law and you Pharisees. You're absolute hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." That would have ticked them off, because they paraded themselves around, said, "We're so good." And Jesus said, "Man, inside you're actually full of dead man's bones. You're full of everything that is unclean." God's crying out to us to allow us into our lives to fix our hearts. Above all else, the second thing here that the author of Proverbs is writing, it says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. This word guard means to diligently protect against the enemy. See, we love a bit in Christianity, we love passiveness. We love to just go, "Nah, we're not really going to take any action there. We'll probably be okay." This word is saying, no, you're assuming there's an enemy. There is an enemy. The Bible says that the devil, man, he's running around like a roaring lion, seeking those who he can devour. He doesn't want you to have freedom. He wants you to try and keep fixing those cracks and not use Jesus. We're meant to guard our hearts. It was funny, one of the most guarded buildings, one of the most guarded areas in the world, I was thinking about this, and I thought it would be a palace. I thought it would be somewhere where someone was super important, or maybe Wall Street or something like that. The most guarded area, the most guarded building in the world is actually the reserve where they keep all the gold. And it's funny, you think about it, and they come up with new ways of guarding it. They come up with all these different security methods. They've got like tons and tons and tons of stuff in the way with this building. Like, people can't blow up into it because they realize the value of what's inside. And guys, yet we don't. We're like, "Oh no, we'll watch anything. That's not going to affect my heart. I'll go to see any movie. That's not going to affect my heart. I'll talk however I want. I'll hang out with whoever I want. That's not going to affect my heart." We're foolish. We're absolute fools. That is going to affect your heart. We've got to guard against these things. We've got to set apart. We've got to set boundaries in our lives to protect us. If they're protecting gold, how much more should we be protecting our lives? But the question is, do we see that our hearts are valuable? Do we see that our hearts are worth guarding? The author goes on and he says, why should we guard our hearts? He says that everything flows from it. Everything that we do flows from our hearts. In Hebrew culture, this was pretty interesting. This was before a lot of physiology. This was before a lot of biology, before they had an understanding on really the insides of the body. And they came up to this belief that their heart was the metaphor for the center or the core of a personality. They actually linked a person's personality to their heart. They figured that out by testing pulse. And they're like, "Okay, well, that's pretty strong there." And then they test it on the neck, and they'd be like, "It's pretty strong." But then they put their hand over their hearts, and they would see that was the strongest point where they could actually feel the heartbeat. And so they came up to this theory that from everything, that, you know, our whole body, everything that happens in our body flows from the heart. But they made this strong connection because Hebrew people didn't separate spiritual and physical. And so they also said, everything with our life flows from our hearts. And that truth is told in the Bible in Proverbs 27, chapter verse 19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Now, I was troubled by this, because I kind of like this phrase. I'll say something nasty, and then I'll go, "Just kidding, just totally, totally jokes. I didn't mean that." This word says, as water reflects the face, so our actions reflect our heart. I was actually up at Umundi yesterday, and I had an opportunity to help out and help out some uni students and that. And Demi and I went up there, and we're hanging out, doing this stuff. And anyhow, we were helping MC this event, and it was just going on for so long, and I was so over it. And I really just wanted to go to Yumani Markets for the food. I love the Yumani Market food. And we were going, and it came around 2 o'clock, and I started to see a lot of people leaving Yumani Markets, and I started freaking out because I was hungry. And I was like, what's going on? What's going on? So I was like, Demi, we got to go. Let's go get some food. And I actually marched ahead of Demi, just super rude. I'm just like, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm going. I'm off to get some food. And I get there, and everything's shut. And I'm actually yelling at my, I'm actually standing there and I'm like, friggin', why wouldn't they tell me? Why wouldn't they tell us? I'm starting to get angry at the event coordinators because they didn't tell me, hey, guess what? You know, finish up your stuff by 2 because the markets are shutting. And guys, I wish I could go back and say, I didn't mean that, Demi. I totally like, that wasn't me. No, that was me. That was me because out of the actions of my heart, my life is going to reflect my heart. And my heart was selfish. My heart was angry. My heart was hating those people for not feeding me. And this is the reality, guys. See, we don't like to hear that. Because we like to go, no, I didn't mean that. Like, I totally didn't mean what I said. I was totally kidding. No, I was angry all up until I got to Clandestinos, and then I kind of started settling down. But this is the problem, guys. Our hearts, what is in them? Are we guarding them? Are we just allowing anything into our hearts? I love it. He just takes it the next level. In Luke 6, verse 45, he says, a good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. Listen to this. For out of the abundance, not of the mind, but out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. Kind of makes us take a bit of ownership over our words. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. And my question for you is, what's your mouth speaking of? Is your mouth telling people about Jesus? Is your life telling people about Jesus? Or are you just constantly whinging? Are you constantly complaining? Do you have something to pick apart all the time? Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. That word abundance, it's like an overflow. It's like whatever is overflowing out of your heart, that's what you're going to talk about. What gods are going to win the war of your heart has a question on how you guard it. And as I was thinking about this, I just started thinking about some kind of practical ways that we could guard our hearts. So if you want to take notes, feel free, but they are coming up on the slides. And the first one is be accountable. Isn't that, like, anyone heard that word before? Be accountable? Accountability? Anyone? I've heard that word so much in church. I've heard that word so much in Christian language. And I'm like, what the heck does that even mean? Does that mean I have someone and I kind of just tell them how I'm going with reading my Bible? No. What that word means is be responsible. Take responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility for what's going on in your life. Stop playing the blame game where you can just blame that on, oh, the devil made me do it, or oh, this happened, or oh, that happened. Be accountable. Be responsible for your actions. But there's a beautiful truth here in being accountable. Yes, you do meet with someone, or yes, you do have someone you trust in your life to say, man, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? I'm really battling this. And I love the Bible because it says this. It says, therefore, in James, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. If we confess our sins and we do that with one another, we will be healed. There's a really cool story in my life group. There's these two young men, and they really realized that their life was going on a trajectory that they didn't want it to go. And so they realized, hey, we've got to make some tough decisions. And we've sort of been talking a bit about that at Life Group. And they came to this point where they said, hey, you know what? We're going to become accountable. I'm going to have an accountability partner. We're going to talk to each other and we're going to be honest with each other. And we're going to make some promises to each other and we're going to do our best to keep these. And I love this. And so they say, all right, the first thing that we're going to do, these are 17-year-old, 18-year-old boys. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to commit to going to Sunday night service. I didn't tell them to do any of this stuff. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to commit to going to Tuesday night Bible studies. And the third thing that we're going to do is we're going to commit to abstaining and not engaging in any drugs or any of that stuff. And I'm hearing this and my heart is just overflowing with joy because I'm seeing two young men who realize that, you know what, they love Jesus and they want Jesus in their lives, but that world out there does not want Jesus in those young men's lives. That world out there wants to destroy those young men. And they say, man, we can't just sit back and take it easy. We've got to become real about this stuff. I flippin' love that, man. That excited me so much. And I hope that encourages you guys. These guys are 17-year-old, 18-year-old guys. And they're going, you know what? My life, my heart matters. The second thing that we should be doing is praying. It's pretty much impossible to guard your heart if you're not inviting Jesus into that. This isn't something that we can even do without the Lord's help. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, don't be anxious for anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, it goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's like God's given us a bonus there as well. He's like, man, if you invite me into this, if you ask me to come into this, I'll guard your heart. I'll also guard your mind. We ought to be praying. The third thing is meditate on God's word. It's not just about what we guard our hearts from. It's about what do we open up our hearts to. Think about that. It's not what we just guard our hearts from. It's what are we opening up our hearts to? See, I think in Christianity, we become really good at something, and it's running away from stuff. We become really good at distancing ourselves from sin or, you know, like labeling those things in our lives as bad, and we don't want those to influence us, but we become so, so, so terribly bad at running to Jesus. See, we become so, so bad at reading the Word. We become so, so bad at meditating on a Word because we actually, in our arrogance, label that as legalism. Don't you tell me to read the Bible. That's legalism. I'm saved by Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are saved by Jesus, but there is a decision that you need to make. What are you going to put into your life? What are you going to put into your life? Are you going to put Jesus, or are you just going to keep emptying up all your sin and abstaining from everything? Because if you abstain from things, your lust will win the battle in your heart. Look at Hebrews, man. Hebrews says, put aside that sin that so easily entangles you. Put it aside, but how? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. And please, you cannot fix your eyes on Jesus if you're not even reading the Word of God. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to be meditating the Word. The Bible says that God has given us everything that we need to live a righteous life. And He didn't just give us the Word, He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us as we read the Word. It's time to just stop abstaining from things and calling that enough. I ask you, I challenge you, I challenge myself, what am I filling my life with? Number four is think new and live new. I love it. Paul wraps up Philippians and he tells the people in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, after I've told you all this other stuff, he says, let me break it down for you. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What are we putting before our eyes? What are we thinking on? I didn't share this at the morning service, but a while ago I went to see a movie and I actually was super excited about it, and I got all my mates together and we went and saw a movie called Anchorman. And I'm not judging or anything like that. But as I was sitting in Anchorman, I was watching what was going on the screen. And I begin to say in my heart, I don't agree with that. I don't love that. I don't love those things. But I did nothing. I sat in that cinema and I was too worried about what everyone else would think about me if I walked out. And I was so convicted by this that I was talking to Tim and I was like, Tim, I absolutely blew it, mate. I went and saw the stupidest movie. I did nothing. It was practically a young adult event. I absolutely cooked it. And Tim's like, well, what are you going to do about that? And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I wrote the people that I took, that went to the movie with me. And guys, it wasn't out of a legalism. It was out of a standing up for what we should stand up for. It wasn't out of those things like, don't do those things, that's bad. No, it was out of, what are we actually standing for? What are we standing on? And I remember I texted them and I said, I'm so sorry, I cooked it. The Lord was telling me to get out of that cinema. I did not listen. Please don't be like me when the Lord tells you to do something and not do it. Please stand up and listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And it was cool. I got a text back from a few more people saying, man, you know, thanks for that. That's really encouraged me in the areas that God's testing me in, or God's showing me I should pull out of things. And guys, the thing is we've got to be honest with ourselves. What are we putting before our eyes? What are we thinking on? Because Paul says if we think new, we're going to live new. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things that are above where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. He says, set your mind on those things that are of the Lord. Set your mind on things above. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And this is the verse that we have for this week. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on your new self. Paul doesn't say, don't go see Anchorman, like, don't do that kind of stuff, don't fill your eyes with that kind of stuff, because I just don't want you to do that. He says, it doesn't fit anymore, Daniel. He says, that doesn't fit anymore. You're a new creation, you're a new creature. Think about the earth, think about heavenly things, and live heavenly. And then he goes on, he says, you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. If we begin to think new and we begin to think about the things of Jesus, and we begin to think about heavenly things, things that are lovely, things that are a good report, things that are wholesome, I believe that we're going to live out of those things. If we think about our new creation, the creator, we're going to live out of that. The last thing here that I really believe is hugely important to guarding our heart is to make tough decisions. Make tough decisions. Set up boundaries in your lives. I came up with this little thought. Set boundaries in your life when you're strong to protect you when you're weak. Set boundaries in your life when you're strong to protect you when you're weak. It was a while ago, Tim was preaching a message and it was on Samson. And he was preaching and really the message title was, no one plans their own demise. No one goes out and says, hey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go destroy my life. I'm going to go and like talk to this chick and tell her heaps, like, I'm going to like trust her. She's going to do all these things and people are going to deceive me all the time, but then I'm just going to keep trusting them. And then guess what? I'm going to get my eyes poked out and I'm actually going to end up destroying my life. He didn't start out doing that. He started out as a Jewish boy who had this huge call of God on his life, but he made these little decisions over and over and over again. As I was walking out of that message, that sermon, I was driving home and I felt like God really strongly put his finger on something in my life. And see, up until that point, I was using my phone as just a device to contact people, and people that I knew I shouldn't be contacting me, people that had a really bad influence on my life. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Daniel, you know what I want you to do? I want you to actually go down to the shop and get a new phone number. And I was like, whoa, hang on a second. Like, that's crazy talk. Like, I'm a school teacher. I've got people, you know, that are like wanting to contact me. I'm in a head of this like business organization thing. Like, I'm professional. People know me, man. I can't just go get a new number. And seriously, I felt like God said, all right, is that more worth to you? Does that matter more to you than this thing that will end up destroying your life? And see, God didn't stop Samson from destroying his life. He actually let it happen. And I made this decision. And I remember I was walking into the Telstra shop, super embarrassed. I had to go and get a new number. And I went in there and I was like, man, I got to get a new phone number. And he's like, why? What's wrong with your number? I'm like, nothing's wrong with my number. There's people in my life I don't want influencing me anymore. There's people on that phone that I delete their numbers. I delete their numbers and then maybe they contact me. And guys, this is the thing. We got to set boundaries when we are strong to protect us when we actually can't even think for ourselves, because that will happen to you. I know, because it happened to me. I didn't want to do those things. I didn't wake up that morning and go, man, I'm going to do this. That sounds like a great idea. But if we don't set boundaries in our lives to protect us when we're completely weak, we will do those things. And you know the things that I'm talking about in your life. They may be completely different than the things in mine. And the young man said to me, he said, well, you know, usually we charge about $100 to do this, but, you know, it sounds like you're struggling with a fair bit there. I'll give you a number for free. And I look back and honestly, I just see God just renewing and just helping me and encouraging me. And it was this line that I drew in the sand. And I said, God, nah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. And I was sharing this with our life group boys and really just challenging them in that way as well. And one of the boys, we were talking about idols and we were talking about things, and he said, you know, I encourage you guys, be vulnerable. I encouraged him. I said, don't even bother doing this if you're not going to allow God to speak to your lives. And one of the boys just put his hand up at the end. He's like, man, you know, I struggle with pornography. And immediately I looked at him and I said, man, I applaud you so much for your courage to say that here. I applaud you, and let's pray with together. And I was praying and I was like, Lord, please teach, like help me give him a word, or help me do something, or help us come up with a decision or something. And at the end of this prayer, we were praying together. I just said, guys, I'd like you to pass your phone to the person next to you. And I'd like them, the person next to you, to go into your settings. They all had iPhones, or most of them did. And as we went into their settings, we went into the restrictions tab. And in the restrictions tab, then we went into this section called, you know, restrictions, that you can actually set anything on your phone. And I said, okay, I want you to change your restrictions to like age 7. And so your phone practically thinks that you're a 7-year-old. And that immediately deleted Instagram, it deleted Kik, it deleted Tinder, it deleted all these apps that, guys, are going to destroy your life if you don't stand up against them. And these boys, like one of them goes, man, I'm not even on Instagram, I don't even do that stuff. And I said, man, if one of our guys is struggling, we're all going to struggle. We're all going to stand up with that man. We're all going to stand up and support that fella. And it was so cool. We did that, and then I got a phone call from one of the guys a little bit later. And he said, you know, Daniel, thanks for what you did with our phones. And this guy was one of the strongest defenders of not doing this with his phone. But he rings me up. He says, thank you for doing that. He's like, I too struggle with porn. I didn't have the guts to admit it. But as we were praying, I was asking God, and I was praying, God, I don't want to do these things anymore, but I feel like I can't help it. Please help me make a decision. Please help me in this. And he said, when you did that, he's like, I was angry at first, but he said, man, I'm so full of joy now. Because I feel there's a bit of relief from those things. And guys, I'm asking you today, it may not be pornography, it may not be those things, but I guarantee you, God is speaking to each and every one of you today, and He's asking you to make some hard decisions. He's asking you to set up boundaries in your life. And He's asking you to do these things. And the question is, what are you going to choose? And I love that the boys have chosen that, but it's not good enough to just have chosen it. We've got to have chosen it, we've got to choose it, and we've got to continue to choose. We've got to choose to be accountable. We've got to choose to pray. We've got to choose to meditate on the Word of God. And we've got to choose to think new, to live new, and we've got to choose to make some hard decisions. But the most epic thing is that we can't do it without Jesus. We've got to invite Him into that. I'm going to close with a song. It's a pretty epic song. It's an old school one. It's called "Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God." So a bit of a background to that story. David had really just been hanging out on his balcony one day, and he saw a chick bathing, and he's like, why not? And he engages in this act with this lady and ends up like murdering practically her husband to cover it all up, to get those cracks covered. And he doesn't even acknowledge it till later on. This prophet comes and he says this whole analogy thing to him, and David rises up in anger in this analogy, and the prophet says, you are that man. You are that one. And I love it. David just comes and he goes, man, create in me a new heart. He says, cleanse me from those things. And I love it. He comes to this point where he cries out and he says, God, please, please, please create in me a new heart. But don't turn your back from me. Don't take me. Don't cast me out of your presence. He says, don't do that. Don't even take your Holy Spirit from me. See, we've come to a place because we know that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So we're like, hey, we're sweet. God's not going to take His Holy Spirit. But David had actually seen that happen to the king of Israel. And he goes, God, I don't want that to happen to me. You're all I've got. And I believe God's asking us to come to a place where we go, God, you're all we've got. So I'd love you to stand with me. Love with you to stand with me. And just as we sing this song, really allow the Word of God to speak to your hearts. And after this, we're going to be heading into the pool. And one of our lads, Ross, he's going to get baptized. And it's epic because, man, it is thinking new and it is living new. But let's just pray really quickly. Lord, I just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us, Lord. God, that you would be putting fingers in areas in our life, Lord, that you know aren't of you, Father. And God, that you're not satisfied with us just painting over those with church, with just good words, with anything, God. You want to address the problem, which is our hearts, Father. And God, I pray that we would just open our hearts to you. And God, that we would cry out to you to do a new work in us, Jesus. Take away our heart of stone, God, and let us choose you. In your name I pray. Amen.